This episode of The Podcats is sponsored by George Barrett, Simonon Realtors. George Barrett is a Cats fan with his finger on the pulse of Louisville real estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing, call George Barrett with Simonon Realtors to start your journey. Find him online at KentuckyTeamRealtors.com.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. C-A-T-S, champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Go Big Blue!
C-A-T-S, K-K-K.
No catch there.
Let's go.
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
All right, welcome back in. This is, I think, episode 10 of the Podcats. Wow. We've made it 10 episodes. I'm Kenny Colston. Alongside with me, Chris Littrell.
Hey, everybody.
Nice to have you back, Chris. I know Twani Beckham filled that seat, but I don't know. I think you could take him in a game on one-on-one.
More than likely, I would probably be dunking all over him.
Yeah. Well, that just like Big Blue Madness. But I want to thank Twani Beckham again for joining us last week.
That's a good get for the podcast.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Also want to say a quick thanks to George Barrett at Simonon Realty for sponsoring the podcasts. I think we'll be hearing from George shortly, but until that time, we're just going to give him lots of love. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks, George.
And, you know, we talked about basketball. We touched on Twani Beckham. He was at Big Blue Madness. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I don't think either of us were lucky enough to spend like a week out in the cold and rain and get those madness
tickets.
I couldn't
find my tent.
But, yeah, I know. But luckily, they have this wonderful invention called the television.
Mm-hmm.
And so I checked a little bit about it. But we have to remember, Big Blue Madness is, of course, a practice. I
mean, right,
Now it's more like a concert with a practice,
yeah.
You know. But I watched a little bit about it. There's a few things we can dissect. Matthew Mitchell needs a better impression than James Brown. I mean, he did work, don't get me wrong, but
that's kind of become his shtick for Big Blue Madness.
Well, if he ever wants to give it up, he's going to just have to leave. He's not going to be able to continue at Kentucky, or he's just going to have to come out and say, I'm done.
Right.
But let's talk about the two things that I think were most important. One is Cal's speech.
Great speech.
And two is the practice, scrimmage, whatever you want to call it.
Showcasing of talent.
Yeah. How many times can you dunk in a game?
Right.
So there's not really a breakdown too much with that, other than this team looks freakishly athletic.
That's, the one thing that you're going to take away from what we saw.
Two, they don't appear to be afraid to shoot the three-point ball.
Right.
And, of course, there wasn't a lot of defense on them, but they appear to have hit it, which that has been some of the, I guess, pockmarks of Pascal teams. Very athletic, can't shoot a jumper.
Yep.
Of course, you can't break down in practice too much. So let's get into the speech. Very presidential, almost.
Oh, inspiring.
I mean, he had his own platform. Matthew Mitchell gave his little thing doodah from the main stage where everyone was dancing and everything else. Also, best dance moves goes out to Jared Polson, white boy represent.
Right.
Anybody else?
Did he twerk?
No one really twerked, but Polson mixed five or six different dance moves on there. He's got some moves. I mean, if I ever got into a dance fight, you know, I'd take Jared Polson with me. Not a knife fight. He's too little. He's not going to do anything.
Right.
But a dance fight, you know, in one of those New York clubs. I've never been. I'm just hypothesizing here. But anyways, the speech. He had his own platform. He had the what I call the presidential teleprompters. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the, you know, shielded glass. But they really should have. They really should have taken two UK athletic employees, put little earpieces in them, and stood them at the front of the podium. I think that would have been an extra touch they didn't think of. But anyways, basically, I mean, it was a scripted speech, and Cal usually doesn't go scripted. I'm saying it's scripted. There's teleprompters. I'm assuming it's scripted if you have teleprompters,
right?
Wouldn't you?
I would think a 10-minute speech like that where he nailed it. That eloquently, I would say.
And
that he
tripped a few times, and usually that's when you're not used to reading a teleprompter.
Right.
Because he's usually pretty good on the fly. But overall, an amazing speech. Clearly for the recruits watching at TV, they're in person, everything else. That was a completely – he's done this kind of state of the Big Blue Nation, I guess, for lack of a better term, the last couple of madnesses, but this one was more rehearsed. This was actually more like a State of the Union address. So what's your biggest takeaway from that speech?
Well, I think that he's putting it out there for the rest of the country that we are the Rolls Royce. I mean, he said it in his own words. Yep. We are college basketball.
That's right.
And I think that he's embracing the fact that Kentucky has the bullseye on its back and that we are everyone's Super Bowl. That was another
right.
Quote of his. And he's not shying away from it. And I think that's what he's trying to drill into these guys' heads a little bit, because, you know, a lot of them are freshmen, and they have to realize that, you know, when you step out on that court, everyone is going to be gunning for you. It is going to be everyone's biggest game of the year. Everybody's got it circled on their calendar right now. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, how it was said that Michigan State's practices right now are geared towards beating Kentucky. And, I mean, Michigan State has loftier goals than beating Kentucky.
Right, number two team in the nation.
Right, in the third game of the season or whatever. So I think I like the way he's embracing the fact that we are the king of the jungle right now, and everyone's...
Not only that, but almost flaunting it, maybe you could say. Well, I mean, to a degree, we are college basketball. I mean, come on now.
But
Kansas has beat him out for a couple of recruits. You know, Bill Self has been there. They're obviously... Louisville won the national championship last year.
But Kansas hasn't done what Kentucky's done over the last few years. They did. I mean, they beat Cal for a national title a few years ago, but at Memphis, and we beat them in the national championship game 2 years ago. Beat them twice that year. Yeah, they got Wiggins and the other kid, the Kelly O'Brien.
If they
whatever.
Don't come to Kentucky, who cares?
Right? Yeah, yeah. But you know, that was one of the things about his speech is, yeah, he's putting it out there that we are college basketball, but I don't know. I just felt like he was doing it in a way that wasn't
very matter of fact.
Yeah, it wasn't over the top.
Not
it wasn't
cocky.
In your face. Yeah, yeah.
This is where we're at. Either, you know, we're not.
Right, right. He's embracing it, I think, more than.
Whereas other coaches like Gillespie and Tubby maybe didn't.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, you would never hear Billy Gillespie give a speech like that.
No, well, we forget those years. I can't even believe I said his name out loud. It's like,
right.
Can't say it three times or he appears in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So we are getting close to Halloween. So
he drives crashes his BMW through the wall.
Well, I thought it was his golf cart.
Yeah, it could be too.
Favorite place is the 19th hole. So anyways, but yeah, I agree with you. It was a very interesting speech, very pointed, I think. I mean, it was a recruiting pitch.
Oh, absolutely.
Pretty much.
Absolutely.
So the interesting thing for me is there was a lot of recruits in attendance. We'll see how many flip, how many can commit post-speech, because clearly that whole thing for Madness was for them.
Mm-hmm. Every year.
I did see that Stanley Johnson actually took a little bit of dig at the practice. Well, you know, when he went to Arizona's opening practice or whatever, they were a little bit more serious. He was like, I didn't like that they weren't serious, but... Overall, hopefully, he realizes what this is and that they have been practicing. Maybe he saw another practice, maybe not. But it'll be interesting to see what some of these recruits, if they do commit, because for the first time, it appears Cal will probably not have the number one recruiting class.
Yeah. And next year's up in the air quite a bit.
Right. But I also feel like the roster is kind of set for that. I mean, you've got the... Dominique Hawkins, mm-hmm. is going to be around for a while.
Back.
You've got some people on the team that may not be one and dones for a while. That could be, I don't know, Marcus Lee. You're not going to have Willie Cauley-Stein, Marcus Lee, and Ja'Kari Johnson all leave. So, I mean, you've got some ability there to roll some people, at least into second-year players.
Right.
The Louisville real estate market is hot, and nobody knows it better than George Barrett at Simmons & Realtors. From neighborhood to neighborhood, work with George to buy, sell, or invest in Louisville real estate. He's often considered a premier agent in town and is waiting and ready to solve your real estate problems. Find George Barrett, Simmons & Realtors, online at KentuckyTeamRealtors.com. Go Cats!
A lot of talk about Julius Randle and surprisingly James Young.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the NBA scouts love James Young.
Yeah, so apparently he's better than Randle, although Cal says that that's because Randle is now playing 20, 30 feet away from the basket, mm-hmm. trying to get him a little bit of a jump shot or perimeter game, working on that. So
Cal referred to Randall last week as an alpha beast.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And he looks like one. I mean...
Oh, he's built like a...
There was a picture of him in the Courier-Journal Sunday. Duncan, Vince Carter, NBA Slam Dunk Contest 1999 yeah. style, yeah. pecking the ball through his legs in midair. And he just looked like he was... I mean, he looked like he was about 28 years old physically. I mean, he just looks like he's ready to dominate, and I think he will.
Which is interesting because, you know, everyone's saying James Young is better right now, the better...
Two different positions, I think.
Though. I understand, I mean, you know. But if you got an NBA scout coming in saying, I would take James Young over Julius Randle,
right.
could be even more special than what we
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, I think Young might be that more versatile wing player, just built physically different, that he can maybe play more on the perimeter than Randle, a little smoother, but... You know, we'll see.
Definitely interesting. I do like a quote that was circulating earlier this week after Madness. Apparently, an NBA scout told a national reporter that he saw a great NBA team practice this week.
Wow.
The reporter said, who? The University of Kentucky, the scout replied. So that bodes well. Going to be plenty of time to talk about basketball.
Sure.
We're talking about practice.
Practice.
Not a game, but practice.
Talking about practice?
And so there's only so much you can say about practice. Eventually the games will come, sooner rather than later.
Oh, we're November 11th, is that the first game of the year?
Sounds right, or I think there might be a couple exhibitions before that.
So we're 3 weeks away from
Yeah, really in the blue-white scrimmage is the 29th, so that's coming up. but good things for the basketball season, great things for the basketball season,
right.
we hope. But that's pretty much all you can say out of a State of the Union speech and a,
right.
and a practice. So.
Right.
We're going to transition now to, we actually have, you know, you, usually on this, news passes us by, you know, we tape this early in the week. You all probably listen to it later in the week, starting on Wednesday or Thursday. I know this is not a live show. I know everyone's surprised. But this week's football game is actually on a Thursday.
Right.
So there's not too terribly much news that we're going to actually miss, because by the time you guys listen to this, and listen before Thursday, I know this is late and say it, but listen before the game so this makes sense, not after the game. The game's on Thursday. Mississippi State basically have had a bye week this past week, and unfortunately we had a bye week this week because it seems everyone in the SEC who sucked won,
right.
and everyone who was good,
right.
sans Alabama, lost.
Right.
But what do you make just on the surface of this Mississippi State game? I mean, apparently everyone's healthy now, according to Mark Stoops. Well, except Whitlow, although Whitlow, Jalen Whitlow was apparently practicing. Max Smith apparently practicing. But defensively, all those injuries, apparently everyone's good to go. The week of rest has healed injuries, and Mississippi State on Thursday. So what overall is your initial take on this game?
Well, it's the game is played at Mississippi State. You know, just looking at this game on paper, I'll still say it's a winnable game for Kentucky. I DVR'd the Alabama game, and I watched it like almost like watching
yeah.
game film. You know, I rewinded a lot of the plays and really took a look at it. Defensively, we have so much work to do. And some of the stuff, I mean, you just can't overcome by coaching.
Just
I mean,
talent.
Alabama's running backs were bigger than our linebackers. And when you already have a problem tackling, it does not bode well. Now, with the Mississippi State game, they're a run-based team.
Always have been. Usually.
Right, right. They've had some injuries themselves. Their quarterback, I think they play like a dual quarterback thing. I think
yeah.
their starter got hurt, and then they brought in this guy's name. His name's Dak Johnson or something like
something
that.
Something weird.
Anyway, he has been running wild the last 4 or 5 games. I think he's up to around 800 and some yards rushing. He's got about 8 or 9 touchdowns. He's been playing really good. I think he played really good against LSU, had a couple mm-hmm. touchdowns. He's gone up for over 100 yards in several games this year. So I think we're going to see a lot of him. So it's going to come down to our defensive line.
Well, I mean, Kentucky historically has not done well with dual threat quarterbacks. I mean,
yeah.
just not. So as our can our defense do it? It's an improved defense, but can it Can it contain? I have not seen yet this year that it can contain a dual threat quarterback. Not a real one.
I haven't really seen them contain a quarterback.
Well, they did a little bit on Teddy Bridgewater, yeah, but I wouldn't say that he's really a running quarterback.
But how good are they, really?
Are we going to go there by the end of the show? I hope we go there by the end of the show.
I called that. I don't know. I think it's going to come down. I mean, maybe I'm jumping ahead of the gun. You're going to ask me here in a little bit what I thought the key of the game was, but I'll tell you right now, it's going to be our defensive line.
Containing him?
Yeah, and I mean, if you let him get outside, I think our ends are going to have to contain. You let him get outside, like I said, with our tackling problems, we're going to have a lot
of trouble. He can run wild.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of trouble with this kid if we can't keep him bottled up.
Well, that's interesting. You know, we will get to that key of the game. I guess your player of the game would probably come on that defensive line. I'm actually going to go on the opposite side of the ball.
Okay.
I think Kentucky is going to have to get into a shootout with this team. I mean, and that's crazy because, excuse me, our air raid offense is not clicking at all. But I'm going to say it's going to be Jalen Whitlow, and that's under the assumption that he plays. I think he has to play for Kentucky to win, to be honest with you. And the coaching staff is kind of starting to echo that, saying that they need Jalen out there. It gives their offense the best chance to succeed. It gives their wide receivers the best chance to get open. So I'm going to say it's Jalen Whitlow. You know, we were talking beforehand, before we started recording, about how this team got rolled by LSU in the fourth quarter. And now, oddly enough, we're a fourth quarter team. That's weird to say. I don't know if people just take off the fourth quarter and underestimate Kentucky, but so that gives me hope there that there's maybe a comeback. I don't see Kentucky taking the lead and sustaining it. I think it's going to have to be a come-from-behind victory. We said at the beginning of this show, at the beginning of the year, this was an upset possibility. Mm-hmm. I think after this past weekend where there were a lot of upsets, Kentucky can get the victory. Now, you've got two cellar dwellers in the SEC playing here.
Both
Kentucky
going for their first.
Yeah, first conference win. So it's not a humongous upset. But I would think at this point, Mississippi State is a little bit more established. Dan Mullen's a pretty good coach. So it would be a minor upset for Kentucky to win this. They're not favored. The line opened earlier this week at 10. I don't know what it's moved to now. I'd be interested to see if it gets any closer to Kentucky. But, I mean, within 10 is pretty good. I mean, that might be the closest line where, you know, Kentucky's not favored. So I'll put it on Whitlow. I'll put it on the offense. Maybe they'll spark. Maybe the week off will help some of these young wide receivers and the offensive line and everything else. But clearly, it'll be a down-to-the-wire game, I think, unless we get blown out. I mean, that's just the only other option.
Well, if you believe in trends, Mississippi State is due to lose this game. Because if you look at their schedule this year, they have gone loss-win, loss-win, loss-win. And now they're due to lose again. They have not won two games in a row all year. But if you follow that logic and play it out for the entire season, they'll beat Alabama if they continue the loss-win pattern. So I don't know how much stock I'm really going to put in that, but this is a team that hasn't been able to win two games in a row all year long. They struggled
against Bowling Green
last week. 21-20.
Yeah, so
at home. So
clearly there's an opportunity if what we say happens, if the offense gets going, if the defensive line, and we've said almost week in and week out, the defensive line is key. It really is. I mean, Avery Williamson can't make 40 tackles a game.
Right.
That's a bad game. Your safeties and your corners can't lead your team in tackles. So there's got to be some push. There's got to be a disruption. There's got to be a containment if this guy is a running quarterback, which he is. And so I agree with all that. Now, also at play is Mississippi State kind of gets into a murderer's row. We are out of ours, kind of, I guess
they're
you could say.
Gonna
we'll get to this
theirs.
In a minute. But they're getting into theirs. I mean, at South Carolina.
At Texas A&M, and then Alabama after that, three consecutive weeks.
So that's tough. Is there any chance they overlook Kentucky? Any chance at all?
I mean, they very well could be. They're going to get a little extra time off playing this game on Thursday night, so they'll get a few extra days, be off Saturday mm-hmm. before they'll have to go to South Carolina on November 2nd. But, I mean, maybe they are. I'm sure that, you know, they're aware of what's coming on their schedule, but I think most SEC coaches are professional enough to keep their team focused on the task at hand. But, yeah, I mean, you know how it is. I mean, that's something that gets talked about all the time in sports is overlooking an opponent. And, yeah, it absolutely could be. Absolutely could be.
Well, I want to get to that. We've alluded to this past weekend, which is basically upset weekend in the SEC.
Crazy.
You know, the thought was is that Kentucky has now exited their tough four-game stretch of the season, and there are wins possible. Let's take Mississippi State out of the equation. Wins possible outside of Mississippi State with the rest of the schedule, which would be Missouri, Alabama State, which is actually 5-2 as a football championship school. Surely we can beat Alabama State. Then you've got Georgia, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee. Now, of those, Missouri whipped up on Florida. I'm going to say it's a whipping. I mean,
oh yeah, it was. Was it a 20-point game?
Yeah, it was. It was bad. And Missouri also, I think, beat Georgia the week before.
Yeah, and lost their starting quarterback in the Georgia game the year
and beat Florida.
And still comes back and handily beats a good Florida defense.
Right. So. Not a good Florida offense, but a good Florida defense.
But yeah.
So Missouri is actually the leader by far and away
in the
SEC East.
Yeah.
It is theirs to lose. So what we called a potential good upset game for this year is going to be a monumental upset game if Kentucky pulls that off.
Oh, what's Missouri ranked now? Seventh? Something like that?
Fifth.
Okay, so.
Top five.
Yeah.
So Kentucky is not out of it. Georgia is backsliding due to injuries and ineptitude.
Yeah, Georgia's the team that you look at on the schedule now and think,
Kentucky always plays Georgia close. Plays Georgia close.
They do.
Between the hedges now, but Kentucky has got that monkey off their back and one down
Georgia's just absolutely decimated with injuries.
Yeah.
More than any other team.
Normally like Kentucky is. Mm-hmm, so that plays a little bit of it. But Georgia, at this point, they almost have almost nothing to play for now having lost, what is this, three games because they lost to
Clemson at the beginning of the year,
right? And this past, and then they've lost to Missouri,
right? And Vanderbilt,
which also a team in free fall that all of a sudden beats Georgia,
right,
out of the blue. So that's an interesting.
You know,
matchup.
That was Vanderbilt's first win over a ranked opponent in like
I'm not surprised
decades.
No, I'm not surprised at all.
The success they've had in the last couple of years, that just surprised me.
Well, their four losses have always come at the hands of ranked SEC teams, but. And then Tennessee, of all people.
An enigma.
I know.
Don't know.
Can barely beat South Alabama.
Right.
But beat South Carolina.
Yeah.
Who is not dealing with injuries. Had Connor Shaw and everyone and goes ahead and beats them. So in the one weekend that all the underdogs beat the SEC top brass, Auburn beats Texas A&M. I don't know if you can really call that an upset, two ranked teams. But Auburn went on the road and got that and out-dueled Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, and one of the most exciting games.
Although he had a bumped shoulder and was still whipping at 40 yards. Yeah, I mean, that was
but
crazy.
But Auburn has really come out of nowhere this year as well. I mean, they were still kind of reeling from the aftermath of the Gene Chizik era, which was not a long era at all. But they bring in Gus Malzahn, and this is a team that's really struggled for the last couple of years. And now all of a sudden, you're looking at that Iron Bowl at the end of the year and thinking,
They can score.
That's a tough call.
Yeah, they can score.
Alabama just lost their starting safety, Vinny Sinceri. He's out for the year. I mean, he makes big plays on that team. And I've said it all year long, this isn't the Alabama of the last 2 years.
No.
And now I'm looking at this Auburn-Alabama game at the end of the year and thinking, you know, Auburn can beat them. And you don't think they're not going to come into that game thinking that there's a lot at stake?
Oh, yeah. Most of their season, you know, will be on the line. They could be playing for a chance to go to the SEC championship and therefore a BCS game.
Yeah.
And you got to think Auburn's probably thinking we could probably beat Missouri. I mean, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I would absolutely guarantee they're thinking that.
Another loss that we didn't even talk about, which I've been saying for weeks, Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah.
Sneaky, sneaky good team. Took one over LSU.
Yeah, surprise.
So the West is in disarray.
Absolutely.
The East is in disarray. Sans Alabama and Missouri. That would be, I just don't see Missouri actually giving Alabama a good game. But then again, I don't believe Missouri's number five in the nation.
I was looking at their schedule earlier, and I can't think off the top of my head who all they've beat. I mean, it's not really impressive.
Beat Indiana.
They did beat Indiana, who can score a lot of points. But, you know, someone asked me the other day, do I think Missouri's legit? And I said no. But they are definitely better than I thought they were. But they'll, you know, they're going to get their chance.
Right.
They're going to get their chance.
If they can go undefeated through the conference schedule, that would be amazing. I mean, they've already beat Florida. They've already beat Georgia. Can they go ahead and beat South Carolina? They'll have to make it the trifecta, to be honest with you, to really have be considered a top team. But so far, so good. So in the 1 week that everyone gets upset, Kentucky obviously does not play. Unfortunately, no upsets for us. We're still down there with Arkansas.
I'm looking at Missouri's schedule right now, and they'll play South Carolina at home this Saturday. Then they've got Tennessee at home. They go to Lexington. They go to Ole Miss, and then
that Ole Miss game will be tough.
And then Texas A&M last game of the year. So they're going to earn it.
I mean,
they've got two, but those two toughest games there at the end of the year. That's against the West. So it looked to me like
James Franklin may be back at that point. Their quarterback.
I haven't heard that. I heard he was done.
Well, there's debate. Maybe he's done. He could come back for the game in Lexington. It just they're keeping it close to the vest.
Okay. But barring a absolute collapse, it looks like Missouri's going to be in the SEC championship.
And even
game.
Then, their backup did a steady job.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they put 36 up on that Florida defense.
You know, A&M, they're going to have a dogfight, although A&M can't stop anybody.
Right.
And Ole Miss is a sneaky good team that people forgot about because Alabama handled them. But Alabama is handling everyone. The only team they didn't handle was A&M, and they just outscored them.
They let A&M jump out real early, and then they rip off about 35 straight on
Yeah.
Them.
So you could say they handled them, but it just didn't seem that way. So overall, the SEC, and it's not because the SEC got weak. I've heard this from a few people. No, the SEC top to bottom got good.
Yeah.
You know, top to bottom. Take us out of the equation just for bias sakes. Top to bottom is pretty good, and that's what happened. The bottom rung has caught the middle rung, and that's why you're seeing Florida and Georgia and all these teams lose. So the SEC will be its own worst enemy in terms of national championship.
Right. They're going to beat each other out of the chance.
Which would suck. But, you know, it happens. Parity is good when you're a bottom feeder like us. But let's start one game at a time. This Mississippi State game. We're just going to, you know,
see
let's do
happens.
A score. You know, let's see here. I think it'll be 28-27. Last second touchdown and extra point to win it.
Who's going to win it?
Us.
Okay.
Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm keeping with the upset.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're real close. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Again, both teams have dealt with some injuries. I'll say something like 24-21 Kentucky and a good old-fashioned home victory.
Yeah. If
get off the schneid in the conference, get that first win.
That's right. So if nothing else, we are the most optimistic podcast out here, the podcasts.
Yeah.
Anything else? I kind of throw it out to you at the end. Just anything else in college football that's really on your chest? I know there's a great team. I've heard of this great team in the American Athletic Conference called the University of Central Florida Knights.
Yeah, the
I don't
Knights.
Know. You guys heard about them. They're pretty good. You know, they finally got ranked. That poor AAC, they get no love.
Yeah.
I mean, those teams get no love.
Yeah.
But the Knights are pretty good. I think they can ride it out and make a BCS bowl. But anything else you want to talk about? I mean,
Just quick on that game. You know, say what you will. It was 14-7 at halftime, and then in the blink of an eye, it was 28-7 right at the start of the third quarter. And
For Louisville fell apart.
Yeah, and I thought, well, Louisville went up 28-7 real quick, and then I just thought, wow, okay, here we go. And give it to Central Florida. They hung in there on the road in a top 10 team. Got a great win. But, you know, that's all I'll say about that.
I will say one other thing about that. Two other things about that game. One, the home cooking I saw in the first couple of series, I thought UCF had no chance at all. Some of those calls and everything else, it was just insane. The guy, the safety who made the interception early in the first quarter, I think should have been thrown out for a targeting. I mean, he led with his head, and then he goes and makes the interception. Besides that, very early on in the game, one of the commentators, and I don't remember who does those Thursday, Friday night games, who ESPN had on there, he said the UCF quarterback is probably the best quarterback in the nation you've never heard of. And now all of a sudden we see it. I mean, not that U of L has the stout stout defense. They have a pretty good defense. Charlie Strong knows how to coach defense. But he came out of nowhere, and just that last drive, there was nothing they could do to stop him. That quarterback was tearing them up.
Yeah,
so,
in a pressure situation.
I think it'll be interesting to see if this guy's name, which eludes me right now,
I can't think of it,
crops up draft boards, you know.
I think he'll get a look. Three things that I'll touch on from last week. Number one, Florida State looks like they're the real deal. I mean, they absolutely destroyed Clemson. ABC did a great job of hyping that game. At Clemson. I mean, that was – I don't know if you watched any of that at the beginning when they showed the Clemson players getting on the bus and being taken to the stadium.
Oh, they gave them the full cinematic treatment.
Yeah, it was great. That was great. That's – and I mean, I want to show that to people and say that that's why college football is better than the NFL. You're never going to see a spectacle like that in the NFL. But anyway, Florida State is the real deal. They could very easily be playing for a national championship
this year.
Well,
they're number two in the BCS.
Yeah, they could win it this year.
I mean, they've
convinced.
Edged Oregon. I mean, you want to talk about East Coast bias. Oregon is edged thanks to some computer polls. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then also, I've seen a couple of Heisman ballots. I think Scripps News Service is doing like a informal poll. And Jameis Wilson.
Winston,
excuse me. Is number one in their survey, and Mariota, the quarterback for Oregon, is fourth.
Wow.
And he is having a...
He's having a monster year.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to break records, and he's fourth. Yeah. So a little East Coast bias on there, but Florida State's the real deal.
They are. I'm convinced now.
Jimbo Fisher has finally put together what everyone wanted him to put together when he was named coach in waiting for Bobby Bowden.
Yeah.
So, And I firmly believe the ACC, which Louisville will go to next year, is always better when you have a good Florida State.
Yeah.
I mean, Clemson is nice, but that league is built on Virginia Tech, Florida State, and Miami football.
Yeah.
Now, Miami, of course, is undefeated right now.
Yeah, they're having a really good year.
I don't know if that will hold.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's going to play out. Two more things. We got a huge MAC showdown in the makings.
A little more MAC-tion. Brought it back.
Ball State and Northern Illinois are going to play, I think, first weekend in November, and it's going to be for the lead in the West Division.
Oh.
And the winner of that.
The MAC has divisions?
The MAC, 16 teams in the MAC.
Oh, wow.
But so that's going to be a big game in the MAC for all you MAC fans out there. And I know a lot
don't
of
say
my,
the podcast
a
never.
A lot of my personal fans, Kenny, are MAC people. So
don't say the podcast never gave you a little MAC.
Right, I got to throw a bone to them. And another thing I took away from Saturday night, the USC Notre Dame game was absolutely horrible, unwatchable. Both of those teams are horrible.
How far are they falling?
Oh my God! USC could not get out of its own way. They had two drives close to being in the red zone, destroyed by offsides and holding penalties by their offensive line. Coach O couldn't go into South Bend.
Wait, Coach O couldn't get them boys to go in South Bend and win a game?
He couldn't do it, JoJo.
Wow.
But both teams are horrible. I mean, that game was hyped all week long.
Well, because they had – doesn't NBC contractually obligated to hype it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it was just – it was absolutely horrible. And Notre Dame, if you look at their schedule, they're 5-2. They play no one. They've got Stanford at the end of the year. Notre Dame is going to get in a BCS bowl this year somehow. It's sickening. And they're probably going to suffer the same fate that they did last year. They're going to finally play somebody. There's going to be one of those really good undefeated teams right now that's going to get froze out of the national championship.
Oregon, Ohio State.
Yeah, one of them. And they are going to take Notre Dame behind the woodshed for the second year in a row.
Yeah, the best case for Notre Dame is they get matched up with like UCF or if Louisville finds
like a
miracle.
You know, they get one loss. Team.
Yeah, they get the AAC. You know, instead of because you know if Oregon and Ohio State both get frozen out of the national championship game, that Rose Bowl game because they both have to go.
Yeah.
Big 12
right.
or Big 10, Pac 12. Have to go.
Yeah, if they don't make it to the national championship.
So the best thing for Notre Dame is that they get like the Big 12 winner.
Yeah,
you know, something like that.
Yeah,
but,
like a Baylor or.
Yeah, Oklahoma will probably still come out and win that, even though Texas just romped them.
Baylor's undefeated and scoring 70 points on everybody they play. So.
Well, then, so maybe Baylor. So Notre Dame could come out, but they're a highly, highly, highly overrated team.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I hate them.
Well, that's it for this edition of the podcast. Thanks again to George Barrett of Simmon and Realty
you, George,
for sponsoring us. Big ups. Go Cats. And Let's hopefully this time next week we can talk about the second football victory of the year.
All right.
And we'll end this as we always do. Go Cats.